Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Since 1983, Eddie Trunk has been the voice for fans of rock, hard rock, and heavy metal. A best-selling author, host of TV's That Metal Show, and seven national radio shows, including Trunk Nation, daily on Sirius XM.
Interesting.
Eddie offers the world his news-making interviews, passionate analysis, honest commentary, and who knows what else. So welcome to the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast, which is new every Thursday via podcastone.com and, of course, Apple Podcasts. Be sure to download and subscribe and stream and favorite and all the things you do with the podcast. Thank you for listening wherever, whenever, and however you do it. Coming to you for another week. And at the time you're hearing this, I'm on board the first ever mega cruise, which unfortunately is not featuring Megadeth due to Dave Mustaine's health. But I'll give you a full report on everything that went down on it when I am back from the cruise. If you're a regular listener of my Sirius XM show on Volume on 106, daily 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time live, replay every night 10 to midnight Eastern, I'll also get you updated there. And I'll be doing some broadcasts from the ship. At the time you're hearing this, though, probably getting ready to do the last broadcast from the ship as the cruise comes into port tomorrow. And then I'll be going over to Tulsa, where I'll be hosting a show with Last in Line at the IDL Ballroom. And then from there, it goes and goes and goes. Follow on Twitter at Eddie Trunk for info and updates. EddieTrunk.com. All my appearances on the homepage for up to the second news and info as I'm getting ready to close out a really crazy stretch of travel and stuff going on. And more coming up, including 80s in the Sand is coming in Punta Cana, followed by a great event in Los Angeles on November 7th for the Dio Cancer Fund, our latest bowling event for charity. And then, of course, the big Foam Hen show on Sunday in Houston, Texas at the Carbach Brewery. So that's some of the stuff in the immediate future. Like I said, follow on social media and check the homepage of EddieTrunk.com for info and updates. And as usual, all of the interviews you hear on my podcast every week are courtesy of my Sirius XM show, Trunk Nation, daily on Volume. Before we get to the interview this week, and it's a good one, and it's an interesting one, and it's a lengthy one, I do want to tell you about Pluto TV, because Pluto TV is the leading free streaming television service where you can watch over 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand, all completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch for free. Pluto TV is the easy and completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. So what are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. You can download Pluto TV for free on all of your favorite devices today, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStation, and anywhere else you stream. So I made a trip to Los Angeles fairly last minute, fairly unexpectedly, about a week and a half ago, just had come from there and turned around and went right back for some stuff at the new Sirius XM studio. And one of the shows that I did there and we were able to pull together sort of real last minute was a show with Stephen Piercy of Rat and Dave Navarro of Jane's Addiction together. Now, unfortunately, this kind of stuff doesn't happen all that much. Most of the time when artists do interviews, as well as you may even know them like I do when it comes to these guys, they still want to do stuff, or under the advice of their handlers, they want to do stuff that times out that they've got a release or something to promote. And honestly, I'm just dropping stuff here. Honestly, that's pretty maddening, because so many of these guys are just great rock fans. It's just so much fun to just have them kick it and hang out and talk and tell stories. You don't always need to have that thing to have to sell and that pressure to sell. It's fun to just hang. And when you get the opportunity to do that, it's always a lot of fun. And that's exactly what you're about to hear was. Piercy and Navarro knew each other, I don't think extremely well. And what happened was, I tweeted out that Steven and Dave were both going to be on the show. And then they started tweeting at each other that they'd like to do a song together. And we had some fun. And at the end of the interview, they played an acoustic take of Lack of Communication. Unfortunately, due to the rules of podcasting and publishing, we will not be able to air that portion for you, but that's all the more reason why you should be a SiriusXM subscriber if you're not already in the U.S. and Canada, and listen to Trunk Nation every day live or on the replay or on the app, because you will get the complete interviews each and every day, and obviously musical performances when we have them. So this was a lot of fun. This happened completely organically. The idea of them just hanging out in the studio, telling some stories, Dave Navarro, Steven Piercy together, really was a blast. And you'll get to hear that conversation on this week's Eddie Trunk podcast. So let's get to it, because it's a fun one, and not a lot to tell you here at the top, but want to get you to this interview because I think you're going to enjoy it. Coming up next.
The Eddie Trunk podcast.
Hey, as always, I want to give a big thank you for listening to the Eddie Trunk podcast. And look, I know you're being bombarded by people who are always asking for you to give surveys or customer feedback and all that. Be honest with you, I find it very annoying myself, but I'm asking you now. It's me asking you. I don't ask you very often. Here's the deal. We'd like to ask a small, important favor of you. It'll only take you a few minutes. And if you're one of the first people to do it, Podcast One will make it worth your time. Literally, we need you to complete a very short survey, because the information you give us can help make things better for the show and you as a listener. All you need to do is go to podcastone.com/survey, and everything will be right there for you. That's podcastone.com/survey. The first 250 people who complete the survey will get a $10 gift card to amazon.com. And two grand prize winners, you're going to be selected at random to get a $100 Amazon gift card. How about that? Free money. Can't beat that. Our shows are supported by advertisers. That's why they're free. So filling out this form and this survey will really help us cater to the needs of you, the listener, and direct products to you that you would be much more interested in. So please go to podcastone.com/survey, answer those questions, potentially make some money along the way. And thanks for being a dedicated listener to the Eddie Trunk podcast.
This is the Eddie Trunk podcast.
All right, as I mentioned, this happened about 2 weeks ago at the new SiriusXM studios in Los Angeles. Dave Navarro of Jane's Addiction. Dave currently has the TV show Ink Master, which he hosts. Also talks in the interview about thinking about doing a solo record. Steven Piercy with a new lineup of Rat that he's out there working. We talk a little bit about that, but really just a fun hang of Dave, who's clearly a Rat fan, and Steven having some fun with Dave. And it all went down on my show Trunk Nation on Volume in our LA studios about a week and a half ago. So enjoy on the Eddie Trunk podcast. In corner number one, ladies and gentlemen. Thrilled that there's cameras in here that he didn't
Man,
know about.
This was not in the agreement, this three-camera shoot. Steven can attest to that.
Dave Navarro is here. Thank you. Good to see you, my man.
Yes.
And to my right is our good friend that was just on with us from the Rainbow not too long ago, Mr. Stephen Piercy of Rat.
Hello.
Thank you for coming in relatively early here by LA standards.
No, man.
I'm actually up at like 4 a.m. every day.
Really? Same
here. Yeah.
But
same
you've been
here.
Spending a lot of time on the East Coast.
Yeah, but I wake up at 4 and I find that to be the most peaceful time. There's no phones. There's nothing going on. I can chill. I can smoke.
Go outside.
A cup of coffee. I can make a painting. Go outside.
Water the lawn.
I can see what it looks like outside before the sun really starts being aggressive.
Yeah. You wake up. You're up early too, Steve?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Totally. Yeah. We don't sleep.
Oh well.
Yeah.
You just.
I had about 2 hours, if lucky, last night.
Yeah.
Well, me too. But for reasons unrelated to this, they were doing work around my hotel and outside.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh my
God. Hey, Steven, how many times have you been in hotels and the fire alarm has gone off?
Oh, many.
And you have to leave, and then finally you just don't leave anymore.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Many.
I mean, after years of touring,
they chase the hotel out.
These things happen like consistently to people who stay in different hotels every night. And we have books between us of just only hotel room incidents.
Really?
Oh yeah.
What's the strangest one?
Snots on the the lamp.
Snot?
Snot on the lamp shades, you know, and
well, the funky strangest
stuff
one.
Like
the strangest one had to be whoever took my room after I left.
Ba-dum-bum.
Well, you guys just played this past weekend in Oklahoma,
Grand Casino.
Yes, and I was there
what?
A week before. I texted you because I was there a week prior because I did something with Deep Purple at a different place there, but in that town. And I'm in my room, and it's a very nice place, so I'm not disparaging the venue or the rooms, but I will say I laid down in the bed, and I'm looking up by the vent. And I see like what I thought was a cloud of maybe dirt or something that had formed on the ceiling. Mm. And on closer inspection, it was black mold.
Oh.
And that's not good. You don't want to be breathing that stuff in.
You gave me the
heads up. I said, hey, it's a really nice place, but my room had black mold in it.
But it's slightly metal, though, right? Isn't it okay?
Yeah, right.
Black mold.
Could be the name of the band.
That's what I'm saying. You never know.
That's a new band.
Yeah, so I gave you the heads up. I'm thinking, hey, so you don't, yeah, you don't know what. Are bed bugs still a thing, or have they
yeah,
gotten
they are.
Under
well,
control?
Well, here's the secret is you get tight with housekeeping, and they know everything.
Yeah, right.
Think about the shit they walk into.
Yeah.
Every day. Not even from like guys like us. They walk into stuff like bodies, dead people, you know, crime scenes, like complete people shit, and you know,
the
whatever the
stuff.
Fuck else. Yeah, like people doing fetish shit and renting the room out and bouncing. You know, it makes us look like lightweights, and they're like, "Oh, Mr. Dave, we think you're the greatest." You know what I mean?
Very good customer.
Because I keep my shit tight. You know what I mean? And then because I figure the more organized I am in my room, the less likely I am to leave something in there.
Mm. Were you guys ever in the back in the good old days? Were you guys ever hotel room destroyers? Did you go through that ritual at some point, Stephen?
No, it just happened.
Yeah,
you know, it just happened.
It happened, but it wasn't premeditated.
No, right. It wasn't premeditated.
You did it though.
Well, I mean, you just get sloppy because you were, you know, out of control.
I would say that we were hotel destroyers after the fact,
yeah,
in hindsight, but we weren't like out like, hey, let's be punk rock and destroy a hotel. We just had people over after the show. And it got out of hand, and then the next thing you know, paintings are coming off the walls and lampshades are crooked.
Anybody ever do the TV out the window bit?
Nah.
You did. Yeah, where is it? Not Brentwood. Where the president stays all the time in L.A. That one hotel, Hilton?
I don't know.
He hasn't.
The president's
Century City.
Hilton?
Century City. No, Century City.
Yeah, he hasn't invited me.
Me either.
Yeah, so I don't know which one it is.
I had to do it there.
Why?
And, I don't know. I just had the urge.
Because he was resisting the system, man.
And I wasn't on the road. I was just, I used to stay at hotels.
Oh, you weren't even
on
tour?
No, I had a house.
He lives here.
I had a house. I would just stay at hotels.
Just to destroy it.
I mean, I've thrown televisions out of my own window, out of my house.
I was going to say, what's funny about Stevens is he's born and raised Southern California.
Yeah.
You did it at a hotel here. Why were you even in a hotel?
Well, I used to like, I had a house, but I would just
always
stay in hotels.
I do that all the time.
And just destroy them, you know, close the bar down at 4.
In the 90s, that was the big thing for me. It was like, all right, you guys can reach me. I will answer my cell phone, and you can get a hold of me, but I'm not telling you where I am.
Really?
Oh, yeah, for months at a time.
And because you were getting high or
Fuck
something?
Fuck yes. So, like,
no, you weren't.
Yeah, the deal was, like, to my family and friends, like, here's the deal. I'm okay, and I promise to answer the phone. so you don't have to worry if that's your thing. But if you're going to worry, then I got all like Al-Anon on them because I had too much information on me. I go, then you're going to worry. That's on you. You have the choice whether or not you want to choose to put that in your life. And I got all like heady on them. But I'll answer the phone. I'll honor you and I'll let you know I'm okay. But I ain't telling you where I am. I'd be at the Argyle. I'd be at the, you know, at the Hyatt House, whatever. Just chilling.
The Riot House.
The Riot House.
The Riot back in the day.
When it was cool.
Which is now it's called what, the Andaz or something.
This is probably not interesting for your listeners, but if you want to get into that Iron Maiden thing, just to squash that once and for all.
Well, we did the last top 20 was Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
And you had said what a big Iron Maiden fan you are. You claim to be the seventh member of the band.
I don't claim it. I am.
You are the seventh member of the band.
They don't know it.
They know.
So yeah. What would be, do you have a list or do you want to give your critique or what would you like to say?
All I would like to say about the list is I saw your list and I apologize to you and to the show. I was supposed to submit a list.
Right.
So that was on
You have things going on. I get it.
It's okay. But I always have time to write down 20 things, right? Who doesn't have time for that? So I apologize. So I get Eddie's master compiled list.
My personal list.
With the graphics and...
I didn't do that. My producer did.
This is what Eddie thinks. This is how it should be. And I'm looking. I'm like, where's the fucking Rime of the Ancient Mariner?
Oh, I knew where this was going.
I was like, and I texted him right away. I'm like, no Rime of the Ancient Mariner?
That was the one I got killed on the
Albatross
most,
falls from his neck, bro?
That's when I got killed on Bruce's, the most.
That's like even Bruce's favorite song to do.
Okay, backing out the fact that I didn't have Rime Against the Ancient Mariner, were you okay with much of the other list?
Once you got into the past Power Slave stuff, I'm kind
of
out.
There wasn't even much of that.
I know, but it's like one Wasted song. Years. Like...
Wasted Years, a great song. You know, Morello, our mutual buddy, who he and I are always at odds.
It's any Iron Maiden song is better than most, but for Iron Maiden, if I'm going to judge them against themselves, it's not a great song.
What are you going, first four albums pretty much the whole way?
I will go up to Power Slave.
You'll go through Power Slave?
Hell yeah.
Okay. All right.
And you get Aces High and...
Right.
Yeah. I mean, or is that on... Yeah, I think that's on.
Yeah. You're all right. All right. Well, when...
But I don't know anything. All I know is like... Don't Play With Matches is one of them.
Yeah. That's a song?
Yeah. Great. Do not play with matches.
Oh, that's what
or you'll burn this thing down.
I didn't know that's what he said.
It's a PSA to
Can
the
I
children.
Play with madness?
Yes. Oh, madness. I'm sorry.
Madness. Don't play with matches.
Let me ask you this. So, Dave, you were saying that you would go see Rat back in the day in the clubs. When was your first memory of seeing Piercy and Rat?
Well, I saw Rat. In the Troubadour, I saw Rat at the Roxy. This was when I was just in high school, and it was before Out of the Cellar came out.
Yeah, the EP, 83.
Okay, so it was in 83, right? And then Out of the Cellar was about to come out, and I was there with my high school friends, and you know how Steven is live, and he's like, we got a new record coming out, and he would do whatever your voice is.
Yeah.
It's
Out of the Cellar. I don't even know.
Out of the Cellar! And we couldn't hear him, we looked at each other, and he's like, it's called Album Cellar? These guys are really confident about it.
And
this
it did.
This is good. Yeah. We were like, this is going to be great. I can't wait for Album Seller. And then it came out.
Album Seller.
He goes, Album Seller. And we couldn't hear him. And so we went to the store. The day came out. And it was like, oh, Out of the Cellar. Mm-hmm. Yes, that makes a lot more sense. But so back in those days, I used to go see Rat. And then sadly, many years later, I ended up in rehab. Mm. My roommate was Robin Crosby.
Oh, interesting. Wow.
Yeah, so we were struggling our addictions together. He was a great system of support for me. We were for each other, actually.
So you'd kind of befriended each other?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they stuck us in the same room because we were musicians, we had guitars, we were in the same field, and they felt that, you know, we would...
Gel.
We would gel, and we did, and he was just the sweetest guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I never knew him loaded on, obviously. I only knew him, honestly, for that month that we spent in treatment together, but that was really sad when he went.
Yeah.
And we just did this Bowie tribute the other night with my Above Ground organization. All the proceeds go to mental health. Mm. And for Rock and Roll Suicide, the last song, we showed all of our lost friends, and Robin was among them.
Yeah, way cool.
So we gave a little tribute to him about 2 weeks ago.
What year did Robin pass away?
I don't know.
I believe it was 2007. I couldn't tell you, actually.
Yeah.
But I think it was 97. I don't know.
Steven,
I
mean,
we were in rehab at like in the like early, like 1990. So like we're talking like, I don't, I've lost decades of my life since then. So it's hard for me to give you numbers.
Steven, you had said to me on more than one occasion that when Robin went, that's what you felt really changed the whole sort of balance of Rat, that it was a it was a really, yes, of course, a personal thing for his family and friends, but as far as the band itself, that was a real sort of game changer for the hit, for the path of the band. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, well, I mean, when I heard, I just went for a walk and just said, well, that's that chapter. It's never going to be the same. We can go out and jack off, you know, so to speak, and keep the brand going, and pretty much did that in many stupid ways, you know. I mean, we're not the most dysfunctional band by any means, but we were dysfunctional.
Yeah, I mean, saying that they're not the most dysfunctional band still means they're dysfunctional. Exactly. They're just not the most.
Except now it's a whole new ball game with the new guys, you know.
So how long have you been doing? How long is this lineup? You got a
year and a half.
Year and a half, and you feel good about it. You feel like the fan reaction is good.
It's been great.
It's building,
taking small steps because of my knee. Next year will be the full whammy world mega, whatever you want to call it. And hopefully not the last hurrah.
It's you and Juan. We talked about this a little bit when you guys were at the Rainbow. But talk for the listeners that don't know. Talk about the other three guys that are in the band now. You got Pete Holmes on drums.
Pete Holmes, he's a monster from
Black and Blue.
Black and Blue.
Yeah.
Jordan Ziff.
Black and Blue.
Yeah. He's crazy. He's crazy good. Jordan Ziff on guitars.
Now does Jordan also play in Marty Friedman's band?
Yes. Yes.
I don't know if anybody's seen Marty play, who's come over here. He's played a couple times, done American tours, because Marty lives in Japan. But before Jordan was with you guys, I went to see Marty here at the Whiskey.
And he was playing with him?
And he was playing with him. And the thing that floored me is, obviously, Marty's a world-class player in his own right, but he had another young guy on stage with him playing guitar, who he gave a ton of leeway to really showcase this guy. And I was like, man, not only is this guy unbelievable, but how incredibly cool is it for Marty Friedman to say, hey, no, you know what? You take 20 minutes and go. You know, I'm going to give you this spotlight. And I mentioned that to Marty, and it's him. It's the guy in your
Jordan.
Band now.
He's crazy. I call him Kid Twist. He looks like a kid.
How did you find him? You didn't see him playing with Marty, did you?
We just auditioned people, you know, and people came a-knocking and went through the system, you know, at Juan's studio, and found him, liked him right away. We went through a bunch of people, and he popped in there and just plugged in, and it was like, whoa.
You know what's also really nice about that story, Eddie, that you're telling, is that it sounds like this guy is already halfway there in terms of consciousness, in terms of, like, understanding that giving back is more important than receiving, and he sees somebody.
Marty.
Yeah. So, like, that's half the game.
Yeah.
It took me 25 years to learn that. Yeah. So you're already ahead of the curve. That's
killer. And Chris Sanders on the other guitar, who is eerily, like Robin when I look over there.
That guy is selfish.
Yeah.
Took me a second there.
He's crazy.
He would solo
over
any kid.
I mean, I met that guy, Chris, in Europe at a festival we were doing. And I'm like, okay, here it is. He came to an audition. I'm like, we know each other. And he just worked. I said, that's him. He's like just like Robin kind of type guy, except he's not all on, you know, the bad things.
Yeah. And
so it's good.
Now, you know, as well as anybody, because you're not dumb by any stretch, that a guy like Dave Navarro and so many others that loved Rat also loved the band because of Warren's guitar playing and his solos and his playing and what he brought to the band. Have you felt like you're kind of, I'm sure there's still a school of people like, where's Warren? Where's Warren? Do you feel like you're getting past that?
Well, actually, I think they're getting past that.
Who?
There's not too much questioning from the fans, you know. I call them fans. That they love him, the kid, you know.
Right.
So I don't know. You know, Warren's Warren. You know, he's great.
He's one of the most amazing guitar players. I've played with him a bunch of times.
With Warren.
Yeah, and one of the nicest guys. My expanded view, without knowing any of the people or the details, my theory would be that Warren's, like, you know, kind of into his family trip, and that's I envy that, man.
I don't know.
Oh, he doesn't know. That, no. That's the word. That's the story I'm putting out.
That's the dysfunctional part. But yeah, it's all good.
Yeah. You know. Guys need me as a counselor. I'll come in there.
We do.
You guys.
Well, I thought you were going to say a third guitar player.
We actually tried
that. Seventh Iron
it
Maiden.
Didn't
you
work.
Could be the sixth rat, Dave.
Yeah,
I got to check with Bruce and the boys, but I'm sure he'll be okay with it.
Sure, you're free.
Yeah, because I'm also in Slipknot.
Oh, I did not. You're one of the masks?
I'm whatever, however many numbers they have.
You're the other one.
Yeah. Well, how
you're
many
like the 12th.
Yeah, how many do they have?
I don't know, 11.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Then I'm 12.
11.
Yeah, so I'm 12.
13.
Any band that has a bunch, at least five or more members, Dave is one of them.
Well, no, no, no.
No.
I have to be joined as an honorary member. You can't just claim. Bruce has to invite you in as an honorary member.
And that happened for you with Iron
That's
Maiden.
That's right. And then Corey Taylor has to invite you in as an honorary member.
And Corey did that.
That's right.
Were these some sort of ceremonies of some sort?
I'm
or
not
what
at
happened?
Liberty to discuss that.
Yeah, like, cut your wrist and
bad,
blood? Or what are you
that
doing?
Is pushing it. And it goes back to the Priory of Sion.
You don't go there.
It goes back to the...
I'm being way too probing now.
No, it goes back to Rev Le Chateau and Priory of Sion and stuff that I can't get into. This is hundreds and hundreds of years old, Eddie. And let's just leave it where... Where it is.
Hundreds right. of years old.
All right. Steven, what's coming up with the band? What do you got going on?
Well, we're just doing the, you know, baby steps again. Mm-hmm. You know, show here, show there, maybe two or four a month.
Right.
Now that I'm
How you
much...
feeling with your knees?
Good.
Yeah.
Good. I'm about 95%.
Okay.
You know, when we first went out, I was about 80. You know.
Do you know like, why? Do you know why he's having problems with his knees?
No.
Have you met his girlfriend?
Yes, I have.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that
hard
takes
to
a
not
toll
be,
on me.
Well, I'm just saying, not hard to be weak in the knees around her.
Yeah,
am I right?
That's a fact.
I just wrote that. You can use
good.
It.
That's yeah. a fact, Jack.
Have you thought about new music?
We are recording new music, a couple of new songs.
Oh,
see what
wow.
happens out there soon.
How We're, far along are you with it?
I'm in writing mode. I'm sure Juan is. Jordan's.
But as far as you've tracked stuff, have you recorded?
Oh, we're going to be doing it soon enough.
Okay.
Soon enough, yeah.
Is something out this year, you think? Or?
No. Next year for the big hoopla.
You want to do a full album or you
no,
want to do a few songs?
No, we're going to take a different approach.
Okay.
You know, put a couple songs out there and see what happens.
All right.
If it's groovy, then we'll go for the full whammy, you know.
All right.
I'm into it.
Dude, fucking rat is not going away.
You can't exterminate rats.
That's what I'm saying. Rats going to be
we
here long.
Be exterminated. Yeah, but
technically, rats going to be here longer than we are.
That is true.
That's all right. All right, let's get a break. Mm-hmm. We'll come back. I want to get a few more things from Stephen Piercy, Dave Navarro hanging out. And then we are going to have, speaking of bands, we are going to be introducing to the world the brand new supergroup.
There's a few, you know, when someone hands you a demo tape and explains, no, it's not the right mix, it's rough. So we've never played before. So
well,
the band is a debuting, we're evolving as you're debuting us.
Yes, and I said.
So tone down the excitement.
You'll be broken up by the time the show ends, right?
Oh, yeah, we might. We're both dysfunctional like that.
But, you know, I think we're too old to break up at this point. Like,
yeah.
Fucking, like, hiatus.
No, but I said on.
That's what you do.
Hiatus.
Well, you know what I mean? We don't break up anymore. We go on hiatus
right.
because we know at some point we're going to get
that's
hungry.
That's called I hate us.
I hate us.
And, no, I gave the backstory before you guys came in about. That I didn't even know I was going to be here, let alone you guys know you were going to be here.
Right.
And then the idea to jam some songs came through social media when I tweeted that both of you were going
right.
to be on the show. And then you, Dave, said we got to do
something.
Anything, because Rat was that band, like Warren's guitar playing and Rat. I bought that record and I brought it home. And, you know, I had to learn how to play guitar listening to that record. Trying to figure out how he tuned it down, trying to figure out all that stuff as a kid.
Yeah.
So we started a new band, and the record comes out next week.
This band?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and,
see, and isn't it ironic that the very man who taught me to play guitar I've later replaced?
That's right. The new band?
That's my English, arrogant rock star story.
And we're already
You've
huge.
You've stolen his lead singer.
Right.
You've stolen his lead singer,
now,
dude.
I remember the other one. What's his name?
We don't know. We forgot about him. Like Spinal Tap drummer.
Nigel.
Yeah, Nigel.
He exploded.
I can't see myself missing Warren any more than Nigel.
All right, let's get a break. We'll come back a little more with Dave and Steven.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Do Talk a little bit, Dave, when you first saw Rat, that whole scene that was going on here in L.A., Stephen, you, it started, it started in San Diego, obviously,
77,
right?
Yeah.
77. Right. So it got on your radar a few years later when
I believe I saw you guys with Motley Crue at one of the local clubs.
Did you guys play together with the crew back then?
We did a couple.
Or maybe there was a Santa Monica Civic show or some weird, like maybe a...
We didn't play together that much, which was really odd.
There was one show that I saw, but it might have been bigger then. But I know that I was seeing both bands. Maybe when there was the Universal Amphitheater, there were shows there.
Oh, right, right.
You know, so like back in those days.
Is there a band...
But I also was... Excuse me. Or I also was the guy who... got to the gig at 3 p.m. and waited to meet the dudes like loading in and stuff.
There you go. Right. You know what That's what I did to Van with Van Halen.
Really?
In 78.
For sure.
78.
That's how you know what? You're a diehard, man. Any lengths, dude.
Did you cross over with Van Halen at all back in the day? Or were they already sort of on their way when you started?
No, they had just... I think I started seeing them. A friend of mine kept telling me to go see this band playing Gazaris. They play Zeppelin and really good, and go see them. And I missed them. And then he said, no, now they're at the Whiskey a Go-Go. It's like the big place. So I drove up by myself and I went, okay, same thing. Go backstage, wait. And I parked my car and I waited and I saw Dave go up the stairs and I yelled at him, hey, you want to smoke a joint? To my book, you know. And he's like, yeah. And I wanted to meet Ed because I was more of a guitar player, you know, singer guy. Yeah. Then, and you know, thanks, Dave. He blew me off anyway. After he got the joint, and
so he took.
I went. I'm
around.
Going to see Ed.
Let me tell you something. He did you a favor, because I met Dave, and listen, I'm a diehard. He'll tell you, diehard DLR Halen only.
Yeah,
and I love Sammy, and I'm friends with Sammy, and I've played with Sammy. But as Van Halen, DLR only. I can't help it. You know what I mean? And when I met Dave, it was a conversation that was so. And I'm a weird fucking guy. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah,
right. But it was so like stream of consciousness and like
he's got a lot of knowledge and a lot to say.
And I can't have a conversation with him that midgets don't come up in the conversation somehow. I got this video coming out. You got to see it. There's midgets in it. I'm like, all right.
You got to own one. No, I'm not making fun of midgets.
Say the word midgets.
Small
anymore.
People.
Well, whatever. I mean, like, come on. Listen.
And all right. That ain't me talking. All right. You can say whatever the fuck you want on my show.
Let me address that. Let me address the whole, like, you can't say this anymore.
Oh, you can say any. That's not me. I'm okay, the total opposite.
Let me address that, what's going on within the society today with this, you know, this stuff where you can't say this, you can't say that, you can't say this, can't say that. It just, our First Amendment is being trashed.
It's insane.
People express their religious concerns or religious beliefs. It's mob mentality after them. It's going crazy, man. Look at our First Amendment. Really read it. Do you feel freedom of speech? Do you feel freedom of religious?
Crazy.
No, you don't. Because everything you do, there's opposition. If you have an NFL guy come out and say, like, yeah, I say a prayer every time I do a thing, people are like, how dare you push the Christianity on the youth? Like, man, we're allowed to express what we believe, right?
Right.
So in terms of saying the wrong vernacular every once in a while, forgive me for not instantly knowing, unlearning 40 years of language in a day to go with the flavor of the week.
I read somewhere that I believe in San Francisco that they have passed a law where you're not allowed to say manhole anymore.
Yep.
It's utility.
Well, no,
that, or something.
Yeah, it's not a law, but that's it's a utility hole.
Oh my God. Anyway,
wasn't that a segment in Wayne's World, manhole or toolbox or something?
I have no idea. So
I mean, the thing is, do women really want equality when it comes to the manhole? Like, we're really going to make that, gender
neutral. You'll get all these letters.
Gender neutral hole? It's not a manhole. It's a gender neutral hole.
It's just a hole. Like the rat hole. Okay. I stay in the rat hole out of the politics and religion.
I stay very much in them. Oh, I'm all
about it. Way into it.
I'm on the right side. You're on the left side.
I'm not on any side. Listen,
me either.
Here's the side I'm on. I'm on the side of this. If we have a view, we vote. That's it. Mm. I'm not here to hate on anybody's politics. I'm not here to hate on an administration. There's no hate in what I talk about. I just talk about what I see as solutions. Mm. And that's it. Because you can't alienate half the country.
I know.
Yeah.
With a statement.
Good point.
Because those are all people that are allowed and under our constitution able to make a vote. They shot outside the box. They lost. But you still got to give it to them for voting and participating. So now what? We're still people. We're still stuck together.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Let me ask
you, Dave, on your musical side of things. We just talked because you were doing Ink Master. Are you still doing it? Where are you at now with your projects?
Ink Master 13 just finished.
Whoa.
And I just wrapped 14, I think. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, 13 just finished airing.
And there's one in the can.
Okay.
And then we're doing another one. So, yeah, that's my life
amazing,
is very busy.
Man.
So I spend a lot of time in New York shooting that. So I'm actually buying property in Portland.
Really?
Yeah, in the middle of a
Portland,
forest.
Portland, Maine or
no,
Oregon? Okay.
Spend time in the middle of a forest with nothing but just healing and nature and music and art and just a place to get away from the insanity of both cities.
But how about playing? What do you got coming? You got any music coming?
I'd like to do a solo record soon. It would be artsy and acoustic and not huge, and that's okay with me.
Mm-hmm.
My days of pursuing the cameras and the lens and the lights are fading. You know what I mean? So like if Perry wants to do a show or if Royal Machines wants to do a show or something sounds fun to me, I'll do it. But I'm certainly not looking to get from the ground up and like, you know what I mean?
Well, it's brutal. I mean, Steven, you've done a bunch of solo records.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, just trying to get out from under what you're known for as the guy from Jane's Addiction, the guy from Rat.
That's the misrepresentation, I guess. People just expect that sound out of you or even when I write solo music, it sounds like that anyway because I co-writer or writer of rap music.
Right,
so
right.
But we have the new band, you know, the Rat Addiction. That album comes out next week.
And also,
we haven't even recorded it yet, but it comes out next week.
Also with Steven as a lyricist and as a singer, that's his art. I have I don't know what else you do in your own time. I know you're an artist as well, but I have a million things that I also turn to that I find fulfilling. And right now I'm doing a lot of work with like organizations to bring awareness to mental health and to domestic violence and feeding in the homeless problem we have. Like if I'm selling art, a portion of that goes to the homeless immediately because it actually goes to people on the ground. So if someone asks me for stickers or whatever, I'm like, sure. The cost of it is put a dollar in the next jar, or if it's safe, hand a homeless guy a dollar. You know,
don't
go wandering into a tent city and make yourself unsafe, but do something.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a major issue, especially here in California and here in Los Angeles specifically.
Everywhere.
Let's grab a few calls for Dave Navarro and Stephen Piercy. No, they really don't have a new band together. This just kind of happened organically, and here they are and hanging out. We're having a good time here on a
Monday. Don't blow our dream, man.
All right. Well, you never know. Things have, you know.
We just started. I have never
have
played in a band.
In more interesting ways over the years, so you never
know.
Yeah,
you never know.
Mark in Detroit. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Eddie. Hey, Dave. Stephen Piercy, wow. As a teenager,
yes,
you were my idol, so this is a unique pleasure for me to get to talk to you. So,
thank you.
A question that I had was, I've always loved your style of singing. Like, it's more like a vocalization. And I wanted to know how you developed that singing style and if you've ever had any problems with it.
I always have problems with it, forgetting words, this and that. But, you know, I don't know. I've never taken myself seriously as a singer. I don't.
If I might chime in, I think I think what he's talking about is if as a listener, it sounds like you're using your vocal cords in a way that would be straining and harmful, but you don't seem to have a problem with it.
No, it just sounds how it sounds.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I'll say about that, jumping in, talking about his voice. There are these guys out there, when you hear them, you know exactly who it is.
Oh, yeah.
Super identifiable. So the minute you hear Steven sing, that's like boom, you know. That's
it's a curse too sometimes when the solo music and whatever else, they're like,
Was there somebody that you modeled your approach as a kid to singing? Was there people you were hearing? Was something that shaped you?
Robert Plant.
But see, that's interesting because you sound nothing like Robert Plant.
I hear it.
You do?
I do. Yeah, I hear it in the high register when he hits some of the high register stuff.
Yeah. And Alice Cooper and Eric Bloom. Lois DeKalt, big fan.
Yeah.
You're saying, no, da, da, no. That's fucking Robert Plant all day.
I guess so.
Yeah, that's true. You gave it away, Dave. Yeah.
Well, I didn't give it away. I'm giving it away. I'm giving examples of your own story.
Yeah. Well, it's not exactly unique that somebody who's influenced by Plant or Page or anyone from Zeppelin.
Well, I'm actually only into bands that are influenced by them. I hate Zeppelin.
Really?
Yeah, but I'm into Greta Van Fleet and Kingdom Come. My whole thing is bands that sound like Zeppelin.
But aren't Zeppelin.
But that I hate aren't. Fuck Zeppelin.
Wait, you forgot one.
Which one?
What's that other band sounded like Zeppelin? Lenny White or Lenny Wolf?
That's Kingdom Come.
Kingdom Come.
Yeah, Kingdom Come.
Yeah, he was the singer in Kingdom Come. Great sounding record, though. Yeah. Get it on. Mark, did that answer your question, kind of?
It did, and Stephen, if you guys put out a CD, I promise I'll go buy the real thing and not stream it. So,
right on. We appreciate it, but the album comes out next week, and then we're only selling it for one day.
Thank you, Mark.
So in other words, CD's nuts.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, man. This is Keith in Maryland. Keith is up next with Stephen Piercy and Dave Navarro. What's going on, Keith?
Hey, guys. I can't wait to pre-order the album I Hate Us.
I Hate Us.
I Hate Us.
That's a good title. You just titled our new record.
I Hate Us.
I Hate Us.
Well, you guys mentioned it. I can't take full credit. You guys were talking about that earlier, so I can't take full credit, but I think that's what you
I'll give you royalties, points, whatever you want.
Yeah, we'll go with that. He's had those conversations
but the album title,
10 billion times.
Just take it.
I Hate Us, Hiatus is great.
Yeah.
I Hate Us, Hiatus.
There you go. The new record. Thank you.
This was a treat because Rad is one of my all-time favorite bands, and Nothing Shocking is one of my all-time favorite albums. So this is definitely double dipping.
Cool. Thank you.
I hope you guys do come on again. Yeah, really. And
Thank you.
I wonder if Steve. Yeah, you're welcome. And I wonder if Stephen would entertain the thought of singing "Being Caught Stealing."
Whoa, that's interesting.
That is interesting.
Who's singing that? Jane's Addiction.
Oh, that would be cool. I was actually going to bring it up. If we had more time, I probably would have dwelled into that.
Put him on the spot, but I'd have to learn it too.
I'd have to learn it too.
For the right price, I could remember it.
Exactly.
Check, please.
If Dave just was playing some Enormo Dome right now, I'd whip out Been Caught Stealing in 2 seconds.
Enormo Dome.
Sorry, buddy. Another time.
That's all you're getting.
Okay.
That's all you're getting.
The next LA visit.
Yes.
Not a problem.
We'll learn it for next time.
Yes.
Well, I'll be listening. We have some. Like I was saying earlier, if you're listening to the show at the beginning, the boss had some grand plans for going forward here. So maybe sooner than later if it all works out. So.
Well, I think they should work on it too, even after the show. They should communicate with each other and record it.
Keith's got it all. We're
way ahead of you.
Way ahead of you, man.
All right. I'll be sending you both a message on Twitter to get updates when I Hate Us. So I'll make sure that you guys are pushing forward with that.
Send it soon because I'm about to get rid of my Twitter altogether.
Are you really?
Fuck.
You're zitter?
I'm over
Thank
it.
You, Keith, for Thank the call. You, are you really?
Yeah.
Well, Facebook. Yeah,
I don't really do
the
Facebook,
only reason I have Facebook is because that's the only one my dad still, checks.
Yeah. Checks up on you.
That's how he knows what I'm up to. So I leave that for him, but, I'm checking too many things.
Twitter's the one that I like. Well, I'll give you an example. That's funny you bring this up, because Twitter is where I have the biggest following and what I personally like doing the best and where I'm by far the most active, right? And it's where I update everybody what's going on. This is how this happened. Twitter is how this happened. Especially
for a daily radio show,
yeah,
of course.
It's great, but here's the deal. Because my schedule has been so busy, I used to love going into the mentions and responding to people because, it's great to communicate with people who care about what you do and have a back and forth. But playing into what you said before earlier about the hypersensitive, you can't say this, you can't say that, there was I was on the plane last night. Okay, I got 6 hours to kill. finally got a chance to talk to a couple people that follow me. So I go and I click off a few things. And there was a news post about Steve Perry doing another record. Now, Steve Perry was on this show when his last record came out. And all I did was simply respond to that post and say, you know, it's great we got Steve back. It was an honor to have him on the show. He's really going to have to at some point decide if he wants to go out and play live, because that's really where the business is if you're really going to advance.
Oh, my God, dude. You said that on Twitter?
You wouldn't believe it.
I can't believe it.
It was this out. Like, oh, I couldn't believe it. Like, what just happened? Are you fucking kidding me?
Did you start a firestorm?
No, but no.
I got shit for referring to men as males and females as women. And someone like ran in on me. Like, yeah, exactly. I don't even fucking know.
But you shouldn't cave to it. Don't shut it down. Don't shut your Twitter.
Let me tell you something. I didn't cave to it. I fucking set her straight.
Yeah,
I said,
listen,
here's the reality. Yeah. I'm 53 years old. Forgive me if, like, you know, in the last 5 minutes, I haven't relearned how to speak. You know what I mean? And
I will not cave to this horseshit that's going on out there. Good. Stay strong, Navarro.
But I'm caving to
Twitter. Dave Navarro on Twitter.
I like my Instagram because I can reshare stuff. I can put it up pictures.
People can write shit on there. I don't really do it.
I don't give a fuck about the shit they write. I just don't need to be a slave.
I don't want
to
always have to have a picture.
Right, but I don't want to be a slave. Your business, it makes sense. No, I'm saying for your business, it makes sense. Right. For me, like, you know, like, all I can do on Twitter is get myself in trouble.
I get a lot of my news, though, from Twitter, too, like information, things I follow, not even, you know, music-related stuff. So, I don't know. Everybody's got their thing. Ricky in Maryland.
Just
go ahead,
stay
Ricky.
Stay near the light.
Man, I am so jealous, Eddie. You got two of the coolest motherfuckers right in front of you, man. That is awesome.
Thank you, buddy.
We are motherfuckers.
I'm a fan of both you guys.
I think he was talking about me and Steven, or Dave.
Yeah.
Dave's like, yeah.
Well, what do you think? What do you think the real story was?
So, Steven, man, you know, Rat and Motley pretty much ruled the 80s, man. Those two bands were the fucking 80s. Everybody else was around you guys, but you and Motley were it, man. Through all that, you guys.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I think there were others, but that's, you know, that's cool. Thanks.
No, but you guys were the top.
He's right. We were definitely
you guys ruled. You
top of the pyramid.
Ruled.
Everything else, like Black and Blue, everything that came out after that, even Wasp, all that stuff, it didn't come close to the...
Interesting.
Which is why I always said, and I mean, Steven, you can speak to this, but to me, it bums me out that Rat isn't, lack of a better term, bigger or more revered in that, because Dave's right, and so is Ricky, of that scene in the early 80s. Rat and Motley dominated MTV, dominated the airwaves, and Motley took on this whole other thing where they're, you know, arena act headlining and all this stuff. Do you think it's just because of all the changes in the band over the years?
No, we had our, you know, 10 years.
Oh, of course you like, did. You know, but
now, well, we do some great shows, so, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I don't cry over anything.
I'm not saying you do, but there's obviously whether it was the changes in all the differences in the lineups and the different eras.
Yeah.
Think that really hurt?
Maybe later on, but you know, it doesn't affect me, you know, personally. I mean, I've done what I've wanted to do, you know.
You've always been even-keeled. You always just, you know, you're just...
Yeah, I just, you know, that's why I like doing solo records and doing my own thing to get my yayas out. It's only rant and roll, man, you know.
Ricky, you good?
Well, I was actually going to say, I've been seeing, I'm friends with Chris Sanders on Facebook.
Oh, and, nice.
Yeah, I've seen some pictures he's been tagged in. Somebody's taking some really good pictures, but man, there's some that are very eerie.
She's right here.
Almost like a Robin Crosby. I'm like, oh my God, dude. Wow, that's really weird. Do you ever look over and like see him playing or like a certain movie? He's a tall, you know, blonde, long blonde haired guy playing a guitar. You know, it's just, do you ever look over and...
Your answer is yes. I have moments, definitely.
Yeah, he reminds
without
you
a
of
doubt.
Robin.
Oh yeah, even some of his demeanor is crazy. You know,
wow,
it just worked. Yeah, when we all five got together, you know.
Thank you, Ricky, for the call.
Thanks.
I didn't know Robin Crosby. What was he like as a person? I mean, obviously he had his demons.
Gentle giant.
Yeah,
he was the sweetest guy, and he just lived and breathed, you know, rap music and our way of life.
Quite,
you know,
soft spoken.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I thought so.
Yeah.
And Steven, a big part of the writing in the band too, back in the day, right?
Sure.
Brought a lot in.
All of us just throw it in the, you know, pot and see what happens.
And you were saying earlier, which I wasn't really aware of, that you considered yourself early on in the days of Rat to be more of a guitar player, singer.
Yeah, and, you know, meeting up, going back to that whiskey gig, I was excited to meet Ed because I, you know, guitars and amps. And we ended up meeting and keeping in touch and going to shows. And I sold him a great Vox 30, you know, that he wanted ahead. And, you know, introduced Robin to him and just trade it off. It was a great thing, you know.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah, yeah. Do you still play a lot?
I play every day.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you, how come you never play on stage?
I did on one Rat tour when we had just one guitar player. But that's not the trip, you know.
Right.
Mickey the answer to that question is the girls don't want to see that body covered up with an instrument. That's the answer. She knows what I'm talking about.
But
especially talks. Now, because I don't know.
Yeah, no.
You talk about the kings of rock and roll of the 80s and the scene, and then I'll leave it at that.
All there right. you go. All
Steve right. looks
Thank
good.
You.
Steve
looks great.
You know what I'm saying?
Looks great.
Thank you.
Greg in Houston. Greg, jump in.
Hey, Eddie, how's it going?
All good, man.
Good.
Hey, I like that song.
Dave, it's a pleasure to
What's
talk
that?
To
Say what?
Both.
Thanks.
It's a pleasure to talk to both Steven and Dave. Dave, I had a question for you. Y'all were talking about Iron Maiden being the seventh member earlier. I wanted to see if you could talk a little bit about that project you did with Twiggy back in the day as Plastic Bachelor.
Plastic Bachelor.
It's a good name.
You had a band with Twiggy Ramirez called
Plastic
Bachelor.
You notice I put
Bachelor.
The guitar down to get serious?
Yeah, now Dave's going to Dave's got something to say.
Here you go.
Back in the day, Twiggy Ramirez from Marilyn Manson and I spent a lot of time together in my house, not seeing daylight.
Oh, you say back in the day, how long ago are we talking?
Like 2 weeks.
No, how long?
Yesterday.
No.
Like,
no,
man.
I don't know, like 95, 97, okay. Something like that. And
the height of your addiction.
Yeah. Well, the height before.
The
it was
height of Jane's addiction?
Well, no. The height before.
Hey, Dave's addictions.
No, before.
Dave's addiction.
Because as a high-functioning drug addict, it works for a while. And you're like, I'm coasting. It was before the downfall. You know what I mean? Because the downfall is coming. This is right at the peak of it working, or what we thought was working. And we spent hours doing a cover band of Iron Maiden at half speed. Every song.
Nice.
Halftime.
Wow.
Which was.
Creepy.
Fucking great.
Wow.
And it went.
Did you record any
okay.
of it?
Yeah, I think so. So it would be instead of.
Wrathchild.
It would be. Played the home, but really tuned down and but distorted,
a whole different
but
thing.
Distorted,
yeah.
But like fucking death metal tuning
on acid.
It was just fucking great.
Did you record it?
I don't know if I can remember or if I can find those. Man, those were recording in the days where those computers. I don't even know how I could access those drives anymore.
Wow. For you guys, want a little peek into that world with Dave. For people who have not seen the film Morning Sun, which is about the death of your mom, of course, tragic story. But one of the things that I remember about that film that struck me, and I remember talking to you about it at the time, is that there's footage, and I don't know if it was Twiggy or someone else in the room taking it, but there's footage of you at the height of your insanity that someone's there filming you in that state. Who was capturing that footage?
In that state.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, you got to see it, Steven. You got to see this movie, Morning Sun.
I know what you're talking about. I don't know. I was in a hotel room.
Yeah.
And I was just, I don't know. It was a documentary crew. And with these guys following Jane's addiction, doing the documentary, and obviously that stuff wasn't going to make the Jane's documentary. And so when we were doing my film, I reached out to him and I said, hey, you know that found footage from the original Jane's documentary. I need to put it in my story to tell a real tale of destruction and hopefully, finding the light. Mm. And they were gracious enough to lend it to me. But back in those days, man, it was
nice.
It was gnarly.
Yeah. I mean, it was shocking to watch that in that video, in that movie. Last thing, because we've got to hit a break. How long have you been sober?
Well, I don't like to do that because...
Good.
You know what I'm saying? Here's the thing is when you talk about sobriety on an
so you're not sober.
I not what I'm saying. When you talk about sobriety on a public global scale, which I think it's dangerous to suggest or not suggest anything because I'm not a clinician, I'm not a therapist, and so I don't want anybody to take a cue from me from what I do. But what I will tell you is I've never been happier in my life.
Bingo.
That's how I leave it. You know what I mean?
And you wake up early.
But that's a fucking great answer, too. And it was so diplomatically said, and I got out of answering it.
Because, well, because the reason why I ask that is because when you watch that movie and you watch where you were, and who you are now.
How long has it been since those days? Oh, like 30 years. So, yeah. I mean, since I was shooting dope and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 30 years, something like that.
Well, 30. Wow. So
I mean, maybe 25. I haven't had a needle in my arm for drugs in a long, long, long time.
Oh, well, congrats.
Maybe
man.
20
That's
years.
Good.
Yeah.
Good, mm-hmm. good. All right. Let's.
You know, because they came out with oxys, so there's no need.
Oh, my God.
I'm kidding, of course. I'm kidding, of course. It's weed.
Yeah, that's tongue-in-cheek.
How
there.
Do we feel about weed being legal here in California?
I'm all about it.
You're all about it?
Oh, yeah.
The edibles, the whole thing? You guys into it or no?
I'm into that sleep mode one, whatever it is, melatonin gummies.
That's not
no.
weed.
No, weed.
Well, I'm trying to be normal.
I'll put it to you this way.
Which is not going to happen either way, if I was high or not. It's not going to happen.
Don't change anything now, Stephen, please. No.
Let me put it to you this
way.
I
like where I'm at.
I would say, new fringe ways of dealing with PTSD and trauma and treatments of those such things, which is what I do. A lot of that is natural earth healing, and weed is one of those things that comes from the earth, as is psilocybin, things of that nature. But you know, I typically don't suggest that for anybody, because it's not like you take a bunch of drugs and then you're fixed. I'm talking about setting, therapist, intention, you know, a real, like, almost a clinical way of going about it. How they treat soldiers that come back from war with post-traumatic stress disorder. It's the same thing. It's not a party at some guy's house in Silver Lake at 2 a.m. Right. Oh, I'm going to fix all my demons. It's not that. I'm talking about straight, like, clinical medication.
You have any stories about that song coming together, Lack of Communication?
That's a Juan Cruciere instigation.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, back in the day, we would just throw songs in a pile and, you know, make the best of it.
So you guys wrote more individually and then brought it in, or then going in a room together and writing?
No, we would do that too. Like Round and Round was written on two cassette decks at Rat Mansion West.
Was that when you had to use two cassette decks to multitrack?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's how Round and Round was written, with Robin Warren and myself, because we all lived together in this one-bedroom apartment.
So who brings in the central riff, the so super well-known great riff? Main
could
riff
be from, anybody. I mean,
but specifically from Round and Round, do you remember it?
Sometimes live. I couldn't tell you. It's probably Warren.
That has to be a Warren.
Yeah, a Warren riff.
Because he showed it to me, and it's fucked up.
Then, you know, Robin would instigate something in it, and then I would write lyrics and temper
range. I got to go, so I'll let you have the floor.
Yeah, sure.
It's happened before. So the thing is about that, what I can test to, and then when you say who brings in riffs, like a lot of times, and maybe for you, you're just setting up. And you're someone just junk, getting a sound, and someone the singer or someone goes, whoa, what is that? And you're like, I don't know. And then you just make a song out of it.
Did you know Round and Round considered to be the all-time classic
our opus.
Rat song? Yeah. Did you know it when it came together? Did
no.
you know it was going to be?
Actually, we were doing it live in like late 83 because we were working on it, and we would play it live, but it didn't have the bridge.
You know,
it didn't have a lot of parts, and then it just fell together in the studio in 84.
Dave, Mountain Song, you know? Where'd that come from?
Eric Avery.
Yeah.
100%. Just, it's all bass driven.
Yeah.
Which is also
great tune.
If you think about it, there's a Judas Priest song that came out that sounds a lot like it.
A Tesla song.
That too.
There's a Tesla song.
Oh, there's a couple of them.
What year was Mountain Song?
Had to be written in 85.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And Been Caught Stealing.
90.
No, for Where'd It Come From?
Oh,
that was you?
That was a little guitar part that Perry was humming to me. What he would do sometimes is he would hum a melody, you know, like that, and I would have to find where he's coming from. So then I figured out he was in D, like, I'm way out of tune now. But I started playing and riffing around. He's like, yeah, that sounds good. And then he goes, what if it goes, and then you started going into, what if it goes into something like this? And then you have to stop and figure out what that thing is going to be. And sometimes it comes really naturally. Sometimes it,
yep,
bash your head against the wall, mm-hmm, for 5 years, and then it's so simple, and then you realize we didn't need anything anyway. And a lot of the Jane's Addiction songs are very repetitive because of that.
When the of the really huge Jane songs, like Been Caught Stealing, did you know it was going to be a hit when it was done? Can you tell for you the songs that were going to be the real?
We at that time in the early 90s, Jane's Addiction, because we came from a very underground, like, DIY world where it was like, I mean, just you guys did it. You know, you made flyers and hand them out in front, yeah, of shows and hoped and watch people throw them away in front of your face. And, you know, the whole thing probably stood out in front of your shows handing out flyers.
Oh, my God.
And then, you know, so for us, we were kind of just this underground thing. We didn't even think we were going to get a record deal. Mm. And if we did, it was going to be on some indie level, like, you know, what was the big deal? Slash Records back then was like the big, right, indie label, or Sub Pop or something.
Right.
And we expected to be one of those, college radio.
Mm.
And so, yeah, our hits were flukes. Because we just, if you think about Mountain Song and Jane Says, they're both two chords.
Yeah.
And there's no changes.
I, yeah, have a question for,
yeah,
you,
yeah,
Dave.
Yeah.
Let me take over, Ed.
Sure. Go ahead.
When did you guys, your first record come out, actually?
I think 89. It was a live recorded at the Roxy.
Mm.
So,
wow,
it were live in quotes.
Hey, oh, like, yeah, most live records.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can you see that, your movie thing on YouTube?
It's on Amazon.
Oh, Amazon?
Yeah, probably on YouTube as
I gotta,
well,
check it out.
Morning, yeah, Sun, M-O-U-R-N, spelled like that, Morning, morning
Memory?
Sun. Yeah. Yeah, really.
Memory Bank.
Yeah, memory over there.
Sun. Yeah, it's...
Guys, I would... It's,
I, yeah, know you gotta go.
But
thank
first
you
of all, Stephen, I mean, we've, yes, had a great day, but I gotta tell,
yes,
you, it's been an honor for myself,
me too,
too, because I've,
pleasure,
been a big fan for years. Eddie, you know,
pleasure,
I love you. I'll do anything for you. And
same here, bro.
Thanks.
Appreciate it, brother.
Thank you, man.
Carry
these
on.
These are the best shows when guys just come in and hang, talk, man. So
Dave, talk soon,
yeah,
about,
man,
the band.
I got you.
Yeah, well,
you
we'll,
got
we'll
it,
start to get, well, the contract in place, and we'll work,
but,
out percentages.
No, but
and
the real,
and,
the reality is that Royal Machines and my Above Ground organization, we do a lot of benefit shows, and we're always looking for guys to come in and lend their voices. And Steven's one of those guys we would always want to reach out to. Nobody
there you
knew
go
him.
There you,
yeah,
go.
So now we know him.
There you go. Beautiful thing. Rat continuing to do some shows and establishing this new lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And you said getting ready to do some new music.
Yes.
So
yes,
that'll come next year.
Mm-hmm.
So all,
yeah,
good stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get Mark in Texas. He wanted to say hello to Stephen Piercy.
Sure.
Go ahead, Mark. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Hey, Stephen. Just a, y'all,
yes, sir,
you guys have been talking about Robin quite a bit. So
mm-hmm
just wanted to share a memory. Actually, the first show I actually worked on a crew was 1985, Invasion of Your Privacy, when you were opening for, I'm sorry, you were the headliner. Bon Jovi was the opener.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Robin, I happened to be working at a electronics store. We sold all kinds of like high-end electronics stuff. Anyway, we carried Alpine Stereo, and I had an Alpine shirt on. And it had the slogan, "I've got the touch." And Robin and John Bon Jovi walked up to me. I was checking something on the very back part of the stage before sound check. And they both walked up to me, and Robin came to my defense. John looked at me and said, "Hey, what's it? What's I've got the touch. What are you, gay or something?" And Robin put his arm around me. He said, "Hey, man, leave him alone. He set up our stage," you know, that kind of thing, just clowning with me a little bit. But Robin mm-hmm seemed like a really, really good guy.
He was.
One thing I remember on that particular day was when you guys did sound check, and I see this happen a lot. You came out and you did about, I don't know, you know, bits and parts of probably four or five songs, and one of the songs you did, and I think you played it in its entirety, was Between the Eyes, but it's interesting because you didn't play it that night. And I think it's one of the best songs on the record back then, but just thought that was kind of cool.
Thanks. Back then, you know, Between the Eyes, it might have been in the set.
Would you guys?
Yeah.
Would you guys? I've seen bands do that though before. They'll come out and sound check something and warm up to something.
Yeah,
just something different, not necessarily it being in the set though.
Sure, so, or try a new song idea. You know, is what we're doing now. We're throwing around ideas up there every now and then. I mean,
sure,
you know, Jordan sent me something way cool, and you know, but you're right. You get up on stage, sound check, and Juan will play some bass line, and or what Dave just did, you know, half tempo a tune,
right,
or a riff, and everybody just follows through. And hey, that's a great idea, you know.
And by the way, I saw you the last time I saw you was on when you did the East Meets West tour with Extreme back in 2009, I believe. And yeah. thought it was great. That was when you had Warren was there and Carlos was there. Carlos Cavazo, and I thought that was interesting. Yep. Just briefly, yeah, I'll get off the phone here, but talk about him for a minute being in the band.
And who, thank Carlos? You guys,
appreciate it. Carlos, yes.
No problem. Carlos, he's a good guy. We actually co-wrote a couple songs together on Infestation and Eat Me Up Alive and Best of Me.
Real good record, correct. Infestation was, I thought.
It was almost there. And Warren would probably say the same thing. Almost. You know, we haven't had intentions to put it in between. Or try to hit between Cellar and Invasion gig, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, we actually did think about these things, you know,
right.
Sometimes.
Right. Let's say hello to Joe, who's in Philly.
Yes.
Joe is on the air. Joe, you're on with Stephen Pearcy.
Joe.
How you doing, Stephen?
Good, hey, what's up?
Real quick, I'm pretty good friends with Donnie Syracuse, and for those who aren't, know who Donnie is, he was one of Steven's guitar players in Arcade. And as you know, Donnie's a character. He told me one story when he first came out there. There was an earthquake. I don't think you were home, but he was hiding under your dining room table with your dogs.
Right.
Do you have any good stories about Donnie from the road that you could share with us here on the air? It would be greatly appreciated.
No, I couldn't. I couldn't. That band was pretty crazy. We drove Fred Corey from Cinderella was in that band. We started it. It was crazy. We were crazy. Freddie, he had it together a little bit.
Donnie's a very underrated, great guitar player. Donnie smokes.
Yeah, he's good. He's really good. He's has a restaurant out in his homeland.
Yeah,
High Street Cafe. There's your plug, Donnie. Give me my free turtle meat that you sell there.
Turtle meat.
It's an exotic food place.
Oh my God.
I don't know if they have turtle meat. Crumpled monkey meat.
Thank you, Joe, for the call. I appreciate it. Wasn't Arcade supposed to come together and do a show on the Monsters of Rock cruise a few years ago? Wasn't there talk of there being a reunion?
I think that's possible.
Still?
Yeah. No. Fred's locked into his TV and whatever. And
yeah.
I have so many things going on, but this is the how rat did that is
band
a priority.
How did that band come together, Arcade?
Fred wasn't doing much, and I wanted a break from Rat, and the Robin situation was, you know, getting a little heavy. So I had to take a step back, you know, and say, stop before we're all dead. You know,
right.
It was nonstop for a good 9 years. And we just decided, hey, what are you doing? Nothing. Cinderella? No. Let's start a band. It was that easy. Mm. You know, it was supposed to be called Taboo first, not Arcade. Mm. A little trivia. And then we just called it Arcade and away we went. Two records on Sony, Epic Sony, and it was good. And matter of fact, we opened up for Bon Jovi Arcade later around that time, 92,
is that right?
93 or something.
And then, as the caller mentioned, Bon Jovi opened for you guys.
Yeah, on Invasion Tour.
On the Invasion. And they had just released what, Slippery? Before Slippery broke, or was it 7800, the album before?
It was 7800.
What do you remember?
I believe.
What are your recollections of that?
It was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, all we were doing back then is trying to find, at least we're smart there, find the best bands to open up.
Right.
You know, we weren't, you know, bothered by how good anybody was. We just want a lot of people at the party, you know.
Did you have any idea, seeing Bon Jovi in those early days, what they would become? And did you have any feel where it was headed?
No. You know, we knew they were great.
Yeah.
You know, good band, you know. And, you know, yeah, we pretty much called some good bands. You know, it's like Poison when we had them open up,
right.
You know. Same thing. We just wanted good bands, you know, good new fresh bands that, you know, got lucky.
Of all your years in Rat, do you have a moment, whether it be live or on record or whatever, where you feel that was like the the definitive moment, a definitive memory, whether it's playing for an audience, a festival, a show, where you really felt like, wow, this is something beyond what I thought this was going to happen?
Oh, yes. Headlining Madison Square Gardens. You know,
I was at that show.
And LA Forum. I mean, you start doing these big venues headlining, it's pretty cool, you know.
I remember seeing you guys at the Garden. I think it was on the Dancing Undercover record that you did.
You're correct.
Garden, right?
Yeah, with Poison opening.
And I remember there was a moment in that show, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't a point in the show come where you laid down flat and the lighting rig came like lowered down to just like inches?
Right, in 2 inches from my face.
Wait, yeah.
And I was just laying there with the mic in between my legs and it'd come down and I'd grab it and move like I was riding a bicycle until it picked me up, until I went, okay, that's high enough, and then I'd let go, you know.
Did that freak you out ever when it was that thing
of course.
Coming down, that heavy thing coming down in your face?
No, that didn't bother me. It was like how far, when to let go. Because, you know, we were like party time back then, 24/7, you know. You're like, oh, it's not that far, but in fact, it's like 20 feet, you know.
Yeah. Were there any other stage mishaps or anything crazy that went on over the
No, all the time. Juan spinning his bass, flying over here or there, and everybody tripping all over, Robin falling off stage, walking to the stage, you know. Trippy stuff.
But. And for people that don't know the story, the Rat videos early on, a lot of them featured Milton Berle.
A couple of them. Round and Round and Back for More.
And that was because it was his nephew at the time that managed you, right?
Our manager, Marshall. He was Milton's nephew.
Mm-hmm. And what was it like hanging with Uncle Milty back in the day?
Way cool.
Yeah.
Because we would go to those Friar clubs with the real comedians, you know, back then, the Sheckies and the, all of them, and sit in the audience at the Friars clubs, you know, and he'd poke at us, you know. It was cool.
Yeah, so you actually hung with him. It wasn't just he showed up in the video and then split. You actually?
Oh no, we hung out, talked, and
did he ever come on the road?
No.
He could show up at some shows, I bet, though, right?
I don't remember if he ever did.
Because I mean, you know? Back in those
he
days,
he was a pretty much in and out kind of guy.
Yeah,
give him a limo, do his thing. All right, you crazy rats, you know, and see you later. See ya.
Because I would think like those videos were so big. Mm. And so on MTV every 5 minutes that there were people that weren't even didn't even know who he was.
Right.
They're just like an older dude in the rap videos. It's really funny. And I would think that he would walk into a rat show, forget about it. He'd probably be mobbed if he went to see you just from the videos. If even people didn't know it was Milton Berle.
Right. Yeah. He was quite a character on the Round and Round video. Don Letts was producing it or something and Marshall, but when Milton went in there, he pretty much created that part right on the spot where he played a woman.
Yeah.
Because that was his shtick.
Yeah.
In his day, that was his gig, you know, dressing up as a crazy lady, you know. He played both parts and it's amazing. You know, it was crazy. And he told us, you know, have fun. Don't take yourselves too seriously. You know, that's why our videos are kind of tongue in cheek, you know, here and there. We're not all serious. It's a party, you know.
Did you like making the videos back in the day?
You had no choice, but they were fun. You know, I mean, it's crazy because, you know, Rob used to say, all of a sudden we're TV people, actors. All of a sudden we're actors, you know, you have to act. And it got kind of silly. I'm sure a lot of us look back and go, oh, that was fucking nuts, you know. But well, it was fun.
Do you have a favorite?
I like the live stuff, you know. Mm. We throw in the live footage and those. You know.
I always thought Wanted Man looked like it would be fun to make.
That was fun. We were coming from a gig, and I believe it was Old Tucson. And next thing you know, it's 8 in the morning, get off the bus, and you're making a video riding horses.
Yeah.
But it was cool because, you know, we became cowboys.
Yeah.
Fucked up cowboys.
And then You're in Love was the one where someone portrayed you as a little kid, right?
Yeah, right.
At the birthday party.
Yeah. What do you want for your birthday?
Yeah. Man, it's I don't know about you, man, but I miss the days of like, now you put out a video, people go and look at it on their phones.
Sure.
It's just like, you know, you remember, I mean, God, rat videos were like world premiere major events.
Actually, I counted them the other day, and I think we did like 19 or something.
19 videos.
Yeah.
A lot of overhead, a lot of recoupables there, right, buddy?
Early days, yeah, right? Yeah.
That's the other thing people don't forget. Those things cost money, and you're on the hook for them. You got to pay the money back.
Of course, and more money that you never knew about.
Right.
Oh, by the way, we didn't tell you it cost an extra $200. Okay.
And those videos, though, now it's interesting when you see them. I mean, they're still around. You see
them
I mean, casinos and stuff. You'll see all the old videos pop up on the screens at like a Hard Rock or something.
Sure. It
really takes you back to that time. I get a kick out of seeing them again.
And then, and then the videos we did for movies, you know, like Point Break or...
Nobody Rides for Free, yeah.
Yeah, and then we did, all kinds, we had a few movies with videos in there.
Yeah, I love that song, actually, Nobody Rides for Free. It's a great tune. Well, listen, man, this was too much fun. We started a new band today.
Yeah, and it sold a million records yesterday. And we're breaking up when the record comes out.
Navarro's already in a dispute. He's at his agent's up the street. You're fighting over name ownership.
Yeah, and merch.
By the way, I shouldn't even be joking with you about this because this is real.
Oh, God.
All of this is way too close to home.
Yeah, let's not go there.
So let's forget about it.
That was like a nightmare that finally ended, but we're in a beautiful place now, and it's fucking way cool.
I mean, I'm joking about this stuff, but Steven's lived this more than one time over with more than one different person, so there's no secret there. So
it's rock and roll, man.
Yeah, it's rock and roll. So, but these are my favorite shows when everybody just comes in and hangs, nobody with like a heavy promo agenda, just talking rock, talking about history, and even great that we got Dave to jam a little bit with you. That sounded great. It was a lot of fun. So anything else you want to mention before we wrap up?
Well, if you go to the website, theratpack.com, the dates are up. We're adding a few more or a handful more before the end of the year, and then prepare for 2020.
So next year's where you're really going to take it out and maybe worldwide, have some new music and really go out and play around the world.
Yeah. I'll be 100% and, walking a fine line, fine straight line, and it's all good.
Good, good, good. Well, take care of those knees. And everybody go to ratpack.com.
Yes.
As far as me, I'll be back here live from L.A. again tomorrow, starting at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. I am not sure, and I don't think we're sure quite yet, if I'll have a guest or who that guest will be. Maybe there will be one. Maybe there won't be. I don't know. We'll know in the next 22 hours. When I know, like everything, I'll tweet it out at you and let you know what's going on at Eddie Trunk.
Yes.
Well, that was a lot of fun. And unfortunately, we had to cut off the song there. We can't obviously have published music here on the podcast, but if you have SiriusXM, listen on the app, or if you listen live, you heard the stuff that went on there as those guys jammed. It was just a short little version acoustically of Lack of Communication that Dave wanted to do, but it was a good way to wrap up that interview. And I thank both of those guys for coming in, and I thank you for listening to the Eddie Trunk Podcast, which is new every Thursday, Podcast One and Apple Podcast. Thanks to Katie Irizarry. She puts it all together and produces it. And remember to follow me on Twitter, at Eddie Trunk, Instagram, at Eddie Trunk, fan page on Facebook, at Eddie Trunk, and, of course, EddieTrunk.com, which is the official online home. All of the appearances are up there on the homepage. I'll be coming to Tulsa this weekend, Saturday night, last in line at the IDL Ballroom. Come on out and see me and see a great show if you happen to be in that area of the country. Have a great week, and I'll catch you next Thursday for another all-new episode. And if you're in the U.S. or Canada, hope to catch you every day on SiriusXM Volume, my show, Trunk Nation, live daily, 2 p.m. Eastern time. Have a good one.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.